Computer. We're missing a couple of folks, and we'll see if they chime in here in the next few minutes. So this is Sue Painter, and this is the second meeting in January 2021 of the CEO Circle community. And today is not our accountability. This is our ask questions, talk about anything, and usually I do a little bit of teaching. And so today we're going to start out with this. I'm going to share my screen. Hang on a second here. Let's see. Okay. Can you see this little planner page?
Yep. And I also printed mine.
Yeah. You guys, I'm sure, have planner pages that you use and ways that you structure your days. But I wanted to share with you, this is the page that I've been using personally for a long time, and I developed it myself with input from other planner pages that I had seen. And one of my friends, Jim Edwards, who's heavy in the internet marketing space, uses a page that's kind of similar to this. I was trying to put on one page everything that I need to do, not just for my business, but also for myself. And so I developed this, and I wanted to share it with you. And it was really about what are the things that I have to do daily, and how do I keep my creativity and my intuition as a vital part of what I do in my day, including in my work day. When do I take breaks? Because I'm bad about taking breaks. If I get started on a project, I'm just like gung-ho for a long, long time. And then also, how do I plan for the next day? Because I found that if I set my intentions and I set my goals at the end of the day for the next day, or Sunday night for Monday, I'm much more effective than if I walk in here with a cup of coffee at, you know, 6 or 7 in the morning and say, oh, what should I work on today? So I developed this page, and I just wanted to share it with you guys because, and have a discussion about how do you keep yourself focused? Because this kind of page really helps me keep focused. I get a lot of comments from people about how do you do as much as you do? And it's because I've learned to really organize what I'm going to work on, know what my priorities are, and notice that the appointments are only a part of the day, mm-hmm. whereas most planners, the appointments are like the big part of the day. Right. But you don't build your business forward unless you're working just as hard on the non-appointments as you are on the appointments. And then I've also incorporated self-care, because when I get focused, I can be really terrible about that. And I even ended up putting down how much water am I drinking, because that makes so much difference in my mental clarity. Mm-hmm. And my big goal for this year, I've always been a really bad consumer of Diet Coke or Coke Zero, but my goal this year was to get off of it. So I don't do that anymore. And instead I have water or hint water that is the sparkling water. I really like that a lot. And then the other part of it is connection and community, which is how am I connecting? I like to have a balance of local, real life, and virtual Zoom like this. But for the last year, of course, it's pretty much all been virtual. Very rarely have I seen someone outdoors in a setting, you know, but I'll do more of that. In fact, I talked to someone this morning who she and I are going to start affiliating for each other's products. And we were introduced through a mutual connection. Come to find out, she lives about 4 miles from me. I had no idea. So when it's safe again, we're going to do that. But the thing that I really wanted to draw your attention to is this little thing in red at the bottom left, which is whenever I am sitting here and I'm like, what should I put in this product, or what should I put on this sales page, or what is it, you know, if I get stuck on what I'm working on, like I don't know where to go forward, I ask myself, what is it I'm working on? Why am I working on it? And who am I serving by working on it? And that kind of usually gets me past the stuck place. So I'll just put this over to the side, and then I'll bring back you guys so that I can see your faces here. But I just wanted to open the discussion of how do you keep your, not what does your planner page look like really, but what do you do that helps you keep your focus? Because that's what it's all about. Leveraging a business is about focusing. consistent action and focusing. Those are the two things.
Yep. For me, I years ago, I created a planner. It was an annual planner, and you received it in four undated quarterly pieces based on what you needed to focus on. If you need to focus on getting clients, then this planner, start with that one. If you need to focus on increasing profits, this one. And each one came with a 90-minute training and inspiration and quotes throughout specific to that topic area. Mm-hmm. And it had all the usual stuff. And then similar to yours, it had a spot for gratitude. It had a spot for what are you doing today for the future of your business? Mm-hmm. What marketing activities, all types of funky stuff. And I found I loved it. And I found when I used it, it was phenomenal. And for me, it was a little too big. So what I ended up going to is this combination that I love. It's a intentional energetic presence that I fill out at the beginning of every day. And it has nothing to do with my appointments. It's what outcomes am I looking for today? What impact do I want to have? How do I need to show up? What do I need to believe? And what do I need to do? And then I've got my water on here, how to set myself up, and my questions. Am I having the impact I want to have? Do I feel the way I want to feel? Are people following me because they want to or they have to? How am I aligning with my values today? And then a reboot, very similar to your reset, and some gratitude. And I've been combining that with so I only do that in the mornings to set me up.
Yeah.
And then I'm combining that with a weekly, this is my first time using it, a weekly planner from Leonie Dawson. And what I like about it is it's two pages per week, and included with everything else is what are your top three life priorities and work priorities for this week? How do you want to feel? What's your self-care? And then it's got a little one, two, three, four spot for four different habit trackings.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So you can, and it's, you can see it takes up very little space. But it allows me to just go check mark or slash on whether I'm working with those habits, and they keep them very front and center for me. So this is a beautiful combination of what I'm using, and I love it. It makes things, it makes me remember to take breaks. It makes me remember to drink, go for a walk, mm-hmm. and do all the silly things. That, like you said, when I get heads down into writing, I can look up and it's dark outside and I haven't moved for hours, mm-hmm. you know, and not moving is the new smoking. So we know that's a bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I love it.
Good. I'm glad. And it's, and I love the ones that you say you've been using too. I think we each, you know, we each work in different ways, and no one page is ever going to work for the whole wide world, but we, but no matter how we work, no matter what our habits are, our ability to focus and leverage our time in that way and be consistent over time, those are the winners. I don't even care. I mean, I've known people who had really not that great of a business idea, and they've made $500,000 because they kept at it. They kept their focus, and they didn't get waylaid by, oh, how about this, or how about that, or how about the other thing? And because we are all learners, if you're an entrepreneur, you know, you love to learn new stuff. I mean, I have a all access pass to masterclass, and I'm like, let me sign up for 15 things instead of just one at a time. So we all have that in us, that tendency to get off of, you know, here's what I said I really wanted to do. And I wanted to have this by the end of the quarter or by the end of the year. I wanted to point to these products, or I wanted to point to this launch, or I wanted to point to this book and be able to hold it up and say, I did that. So, you know, whatever it is for you, it's just a way to help keep focused.
I agree. For me, I find that Yeah, and you said it, the consistency and the focus, those two things, if I lose either one, yeah, everything just goes to pot. But as long as I keep those two, it's amazing what can be accomplished in the shortest amount of time.
Yeah. Christy, do you use, I know you like planners. Do you have one that you really like and use a lot?
Yeah, and that's the first year I've used it because, yeah, I'm a planner junkie.
Yeah. But I knew you liked them, and I am too. I've always tried out different ones, so yeah. I understand that, yeah.
And sometimes I'll even have like two going at the same time for different things, right? Yeah. But I kind of do now. I have one that I use just for planning out my marketing and content strategy, and that's more of a workbook kind of thing. But the other one I have is, it's a new one called Leaders in Heels Planner. And it's kind of, it's not expensive, except it is because it's from Australia. So the shipping is expensive, yeah. Right? So I try and get it on sale when they do their pre-launch. But the thing I've done differently is kind of what I think you're alluding to, is it's not so much the planner, but this one is, because it allows me to write my whole, like my goals, but then narrow it down to top three things I want to work on this year. And then each top three thing, I don't know if you can see it, has a thing your goal. It makes you why, what, where, when, and how. And then on this side, I wrote down all the steps that have to happen, not necessarily in order, but what I've been doing now is, if you see, I've been dating, okay, this day I'm working on these three. This day, like, it's helped me, first of all, have everything in one place, because then the weekly layout is later on, right? Mm-hmm. But it's helped me with that. Well, what do I do today? Because I used to write down work on website. Well, you know, it took me a long time to break that down. But now that I have broken down, like write about page, or, you know, recycle mm-hmm. the opt-in quiz or whatever. Like I've gotten very specific. And Sue, you mentioned this at our last call, and it really hit home with me personally. And you didn't say it to be mean. You were just stating a fact. I don't like working on the foundation stuff. Like, I love showing up and playing in the big stuff. Mm-hmm. And I realized I have to work on the foundation stuff on a mm-hmm. consistent basis. Mm-hmm. And now that I know what I should do, I just make it a priority. But the other thing I've done this year that flipped it for me is listening to when am I most, my creative and spiritual side. I used to do that at the end of the day. And mm-hmm. I've just felt it didn't work for me. So now I just don't schedule anything in the morning. I have to take the morning time to be my creative time, my spiritual time, reading, anything that I want to catch up on. And then I feel like my cup is full, and yeah, I am so much more productive the rest of the afternoon. Like, I will work then till 6 o'clock, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I got so much done. So that was that energetic. That's what I like about that calendar you had, Sandra, is that energetic piece, that shift. Like, if we look at that, for me, I was saving that piece for last, but that's who I am. So I needed to feed that stuff first, and then the rest is falling in place. And so that's like this aha I've literally had in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think for you, as well as for, I'm this way as well. What I can do in the morning that feeds me, it actually inspires me for the things that I do when I'm sitting at my desk. I'll be thinking of something or reading a poem or doing whatever else in the morning, and I'll get an idea of, oh, I should go do this. It would make things better. Or in fact, that's how I got the inspiration to do this and share it with you guys, because mm-hmm. I was sitting there one day and thinking about, you know, how do I keep my own focus? And I realized that the well kind of has to be full before I really feel inspired and creative. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, why don't I share this? You know, why don't I make a version of it and share it with the CEO Circle members? So I agree with you that I think for some people, night is the time they get inspired. But mm-hmm. for me, I'm a morning person, and that I'll wake up and I'll think, I need to go write this right now. You know, this is my inspiration. So, yeah. Claire, how about for you? Do you have a planner that helps you with focus and priorities and consistency?
Yeah, I've had the same one for years. I don't even know who this is, because instead of buying it, I print it on my printer so that I don't spend money buying the package.
Yeah.
I think it's not daytime. It's somebody, one of those people, but I find that the day, like here's mine. I don't know if you can see that or not, mm-hmm. but I always struggle between, do I want to do the one on that just says today record things to do and notes, and I have timers and all that, or do I want to do it per time? And I find the timesheet one is it's too restrictive on me. It just doesn't feel good. And like you guys are saying too, I find that if I don't, the day goes totally different if I don't get up the first thing, stretch, meditate, and go on the bicycle. The day is different. It's just different. So mm-hmm. I try to do those things. I didn't this morning. However, I will after this call, because I'm on a board of directors at noon, but get that in, because it does turn out differently. But I've got to get a synonym for the word consistent, because that word, I'm the most inconsistent person in the world. And I know that. And so I've got to get another word that doesn't trigger me as badly as that word does.
You can look in the thesaurus, maybe, and come up with a different word.
Yeah. Yeah. So the point is, I write it down at night before I go to bed. And then the first thing after I, you know, hopefully meditate in the morning, or ride the bicycle or stretch, those three things, which I do that pretty quickly. Then I go back to that list and see if it's changed overnight for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think,
but I like this one. You've put this, you still got this up, by the way.
That's okay. Yeah.
Is that in the notes or in the sidebar so we can copy it?
No, in the reminder for this meeting, I sent you a link.
Oh, you did. Okay.
In the email. Uh-huh. So you can just draw it right down from that link.
I like that you put connection and community in there, Sue, because mm-hmm. sometimes I've realized that even with the Zoom stuff, I'm lacking in that in a meaningful way. Not that we're not on Zoom, but to be intentional about how can I reach out and connect or foster community in this organization that maybe isn't even work related, but just to build more connection and community so I feel more well-rounded. That's when I saw that, I'm like, oh, I'm missing that part.
Yeah. I think all of us, it has been hard in the past year to get that part for sure. And I have quit making the distinction between work and personal because they flow in and out. Like I'll think it's going to be some personal connection and it ends up, oh, they need something with business and they end up becoming a client for a while or buying a product from me or whatever. So I look at that as a very permeable boundary. And I have always had trouble with the idea that as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, you can strictly block out your time and your thoughts and your activities and they fall in either one camp or the other, business or personal. I don't think that's right. That hasn't been true for me, and it hasn't been true for almost all of the entrepreneurs I know well. So it's more of a permeable thing, I think. And people go back and forth, but you just never know. You know, you just never know. So all of this is just to say, if you have a method where you're not really thinking just about the appointments that you have today, but you're thinking more about what do I want to feel like and get out of these appointments? What do I either want to give as a service, or what do I want to learn that will help me either personally or in my business? So it's not really making the appointment and keeping it. It's the energy of and the effect, the impact of the appointment, and how can it be impactful to both sides, but also around those appointments, how do you want your day to flow and how do you want to end up feeling good in the evening instead of worn out, which is, you know, drinking your water or maybe getting up and walking around. And Sandy, I'm like you, and I can sit at this computer and it's honestly a wonder my legs don't fall off because I just sit and sit and sit. And then I realize, you know, it's been 4 hours and I haven't even gotten up to move. So it's easy. And I think the other thing is, you know, we sometimes discount our intuitive hits and our creativity toward our work. Now, Claire, you know, she uses her creativity in her work because that is a lot about what her work is about. Right, Claire?
Yeah.
But some of the rest of us don't really think about how creative we can be with the task we have in front of us or where our intuition might lead us about something. So this is the way to make it rich. And then it's a way to really help ask ourselves, what are we doing right now if we get stuck? So that's the only reason I wanted to put it in front of you.
I like it.
I do too.
Especially the water stuff, because that's really, this morning I got up and I have a big, one of those big old fashioned 1950s clear glass water pitchers. So I'm growing, what do you call that? Mint outside my door. So I put some mint in there, squeeze some lemon. And now I know that I got to drink that before 5 o'clock.
Yeah, it is important. And in fact, when, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, when I was talking to our primary care physician, our doctor that we love so much, who's a blues musician too, he was like, you know, I want you guys to be doing these things for preemptively in case you get exposed to COVID. And one of the things that he said was drink a ton of water, because all the studies are showing that people who get COVID, if they're hydrated, their lungs can operate more fluidly. But if they're dehydrated and have been for months and months, it really impacts their lungs a lot more. So even as a COVID preventative, you know, the water is good, much less for anything else. So I was like, anything I can do, you know, vitamin C, vitamin D, and water. He was like, those are the three things you should be doing every day. So we've been doing that, trying to ward it off. So, okay. Well, we can switch. I'll take this down and stop screen sharing. Hang on just a second. Okay. And so we can, what do you guys, what will most help you today? What does anyone have that they want to talk about or process through that we can all lend a hand to?
I have a question about writing sales copy. Can we talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah.
I guess my question probably is it beneficial to hire someone maybe to do sales copy for my sales pages, because I've been kind of going round and round with that. And I can write copy for the other pieces of my website, even though that's still not my specialty. There are copywriters that are brilliant, but I feel okay with that stuff. But when it comes to the actual sales pages, I'm wondering, like, because I think I put too much information, but then I'm like, some people need it. So I guess twofold, how much information do you put on a sales page, and what should you really put on that? And then also, do you know any good sales copywriters that I might be able to tap into?
Yeah. Okay. So sales page copy, I think the tradition for sales page copy is that it's long. I think that it depends personally on what it is that you're selling. If you're selling a $27 information product, you know, for me, it works fine. And I get sales from clearly stating what the benefits are, stating what the content is, showing samples, visuals of the content. And again, wrapping up, how will it benefit the person who's going to buy it? If I have some testimonials about that product, I'll tend to put them at the bottom or maybe in a sidebar. And always looking at if there is a, you know, if it's time limited, I'll put that there. Often mine are not time limited, but sometimes people do. Like, you might be setting up a group and it's time limited. They have to join, you know, by a certain day. So you have to look at the, like the timeliness of it. And I try to, the best advice that I can give you is to write your copy as if you're writing a letter to a friend of yours who would benefit by this. And you're writing to a specific person. When it's hard to do copy is when you're trying to hit, you're thinking of all the people who might be buying it, But if you focus in and act like you're writing it to one specific person you know could use it, then that's kind of becomes your person in your mind, or your avatar, as some people say, and it will go easier for you. There are people who do copywriting. I'd have to scrounge around and give you some names. The issue that I have with it is, depending on what it is you're doing the copy for, good copywriters are not inexpensive. So if you're looking to do sales copy for something that's a low-end offer, then it's going to take you a lot more sales. Your operating costs for that are going to go sky high. So it would need to, I probably would never pay for copywriting unless it was like a really big offer, you know, a year-long program or something like that. So when you write your copy, are you thinking of a particular person who might benefit from it?
And no,
writing to them?
No. So that was a good suggestion. And I think I'm also not as much benefits focused as I am. Right. So I need to get better at understanding, but how this will benefit you by writing to a best friend, Pamela, that helps me frame that, because I think that'll help me get more specific, because I think I'm just all across the board is what I was finding. I'm like, this is way too long. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I sometimes get turned off by real long, long, long sales copy, but the purpose of it in long form sales copy is really there, because what they try to do is write a paragraph to overcome any imagined objection to the buy. Mm-hmm. So traditionally, a person would say, hang on a minute, let me ask Bill to pipe down. Hey, Bill. I can hear him in the speaker, and I thought maybe it would be picking up on the recording. So at any rate, now I've lost my train of thought.
Overcoming objections.
Yeah. So traditional sales copy, what you would do is you'd take a sheet of paper, and you would list on that sheet of paper, here's every objection a person could make to buying this product or service. And then in your sales copy, you're going to have something that addresses every single one of those points that you can think of. And sometimes I've been in groups where they're like, I need to have a list of the objections. Here, I'm selling X. Here are all the objections I can think of why a person might not buy. And we'll sit around and say, well, how about this objection? How about that objection? We try to make the list really, really complete, and then write something to overcome every objection. But the trick about the features and the benefits, because I get caught up in that, it's really easy to get caught up in that. If you're talking about a feature, let's say that you're offering a group and you say, we're going to meet, we have a meeting every Monday morning. That's a feature. You want to say the benefit. So you can turn it by saying, we have a meeting every Monday morning so that you blah, 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 blah. And then that's the benefit. Like, why are you putting that in there?
Okay.
And actually, I don't know where Elaine is today, but she didn't write and say she wouldn't make it, but she does copywriting. You could talk to her, or you could probably put a draft up in the CEO circle and she would comment on it, because she does copy for people. Mm-hmm. But think about changing your features into benefits.
Okay. You know? I think that's helpful.
And what else? I know everybody here's written copy, so if you have other things for suggestions, chime in.
Two things. One, Elaine mentioned on the Facebook group that her old new boyfriend, he has moved in.
Yeah.
And she's taken time off. So yeah. I figured that's why she wouldn't be here today. Then in terms of the copywriting, similar to what Sue said, Christy, I focus on one person. And for me, I like to think of it as you and I are sitting down having a cup of tea and you ask me about the program mm-hmm. or the product or the thing. And I'm having this conversation with you where I'm sharing, you know, this is what we do and this is why we do it. And this is, you know, these are the different things that it includes. So it's that one person again. And for me, it helps to literally sit and visualize. The big thing that I do afterwards It's a feature of neuro-linguistic programming. Is once I've written the page, I take a break, you know, normally the next day if I've got the time, I print it out and I go somewhere that is not my office. It might be the living room couch, it might be outside, but I go somewhere and I spend a few minutes getting into Mary. Mary is my client avatar's name. I spend a few minutes getting into Mary's mindset. You know, this is what is going on for Mary. And then I sit down and I read it from Mary's point of view. And I often find things that are too much or not enough, or wait a minute, what about this? But it helps for me to break the state of being Sandy in the office and going and doing that somewhere that's not my office.
Your voice.
That's good. I think that makes sense to read it in a different environment. I like that. I think I just need to take a stab at it and just do it.
What are you thinking about? What is the sales page for that you're working on right now?
The one I'm going to work on is for kind of an entry level coaching with me. It's not an inexpensive thing, but it's not my biggest. It's kind of a mid-range one. And I just want to make sure I'm explaining it enough so they understand the value. Which is really overcoming objection for price, right? Like, I want to make sure the value is in there. So I was getting stuck on that a little bit because I'm like, well, this isn't a big deal, but it's not a $27 program either. So it's kind of a mid-range.
So you're probably going to have a middle-sized sales page and you will have to do some writing about overcoming objections of which the person might think, I really need this, but oh my gosh, it's too expensive. So prove to that person you're talking to, that it will be worth it because of the benefit, how they will feel. Also, the other thing I failed to mention and should have mentioned is that copy is an emotional thing. I was a researcher for many years by trade. I tend to write the facts of things kind of in a more academic tone. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't sell well. That's my big negative for me in copywriting. You have to bring in the emotions of it, which is easy for me to do when I'm looking at and reviewing other people's copy, but it's not so easy to do when I'm doing my own copy. Mm-hmm. So it is an emotionally laden thing. People buy on emotion and then they justify what they bought with logic. So it's always an emotional sale. I don't care what it is. It's an emotional sale. So you have to speak to the emotions of it.
Okay. Those are all really good suggestions.
Kendall Summerhawk used to have this form years ago. She's a really good copywriter. Go look at Kendall Summerhawk's copy for her coaching programs because that's good copy. She had this form that it was like, what is this? What are the emotions of the person who's going to buy your product? What are their emotions right now? And then what are their emotions going to be after they've bought and applied your product? Mm-hmm. And then I started breaking it down further. What are their emotions now? What are their emotions immediately after they've bought this? Like hope, maybe a little bit of fear, shyness, whatever. And then what are their emotions after they've actually applied it? Because as we know, some people buy, but then they don't apply, right? So then she would take those words and use those words in her copy. And I think she's really good at copywriting. So
phenomenal at it.
Yeah, I agree. I think she is. So, you know, go look at a couple of her offers and you'll get some inspiration for sure.
Okay, I will do that. I took a course of hers years ago as well. So I know I've got stuff of hers that I can.
Yeah, you might have that chart. I might have it somewhere if I dug hard enough. Yeah. I remember I saved it when I was throwing a bunch of stuff away because it was such a reminder of how to pull the emotions out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's true. The other question I have, and this is an interesting one. So I want to get on your Clubhouse thing. I don't even know how to get on like a channel.
Okay.
All right, I thought I would practice because you said you're going on this afternoon.
Yeah,
I thought
twice,
that would be good practice for me to get on there and see what it is, but I don't even know how to do it.
Okay. Well, so when you open Clubhouse, if you follow me, and Sandy's going to also be in the 4 o'clock one, right?
Right.
then the meetings that we have scheduled should come up as a link. Really what will happen is, I can post in the CEO circle when we get off this call. I can post the two links for the two that I'm in today. And if you can make either one or both, you're welcome to. And you just hit the link and it will get on your phone and hit the link and it will take you to Clubhouse, because you know this works on your phone, right? It doesn't work anywhere else. So you just hit the link and you should be brought into the meeting.
Oh, okay. Because I hit the link and now it shows up when I open Clubhouse. It shows up as a scheduled event.
Okay.
So maybe then you just click on that. It'll go live when it's time.
Right.
Okay. Yep. My second question is, if you want to talk back, do you enable that feature or disable it depending on?
The host of the meeting has to bring you in as a speaker. So there's a control on the meeting phone when the meeting is live, and you can tap someone and give them the permission to speak.
Okay. I might play around. Oh, I'm definitely going to get on, but if I make a mistake, just ignore me and hang up on me.
doesn't matter. And I'm just learning all this too. So I'm certainly by far no expert, but what I understand is that if you are in somebody's room and you are following them, then you show up kind of at the front of the audience, like in a building, like at the front of the audience. And because you're following them, they can more easily tap you and bring you into the conversation, or they can bring you in as a speaker or a co-host. Mm-hmm. If you're not following them, they can tap you to speak, but they can't really tap you to come to the front of the room as a host. I think that's the way it works. I may be wrong. Sandy, do you know?
I think you're right there. And Christy, when you're in the room, uh-huh. if you want to speak, like if you have a question, down at the bottom of the screen, you can raise your hand.
Yeah.
And when you raise your hand, that tells the speaker to unmute you so that you can ask your question or whatever it is you want to do.
So it's almost like a call-in radio show, like an old school call-in radio show, right?
It's exactly like a radio show. And I think the people who are old radio buffs are the people who like it.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's like a party. It's like, I remember when my parents had a party line, because when I was really little, that was what they could afford. And you'd pick it up. Other people might be talking. You were taught to hang up real fast. So it's like almost being on a party line or a radio show. It's like a call-in radio show.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to get on today and play around.
We'll see how it goes. I have no idea how it'll be, but.
I have people following me and I'm like, why are they following me? I haven't even done anything. So it's interesting.
Maybe you showed up in their contact list. I don't know. Crazy.
No, that's it. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. What else?
For me?
For anybody. Oh, what you got that you want help, you or anyone else?
I have something. I have a membership program. Next year will be 11 years that she's been running.
Wow. It's
very popular. People go in and they don't leave. Most of the people in it are from 11 years ago. But it's completely stagnated on new growth. And I feel that that's because I leave it open all the time. So there's no sense of urgency to join. So I'm like 80% there that what I'm going to do is just about there. Yeah. I want to shift it up in the marketing of it. So I think I'm going to do a webinar next month to promote it. And then I'm going to give them till the end of February. I'm going to do the webinar on the 16th. So give roughly 2 weeks. Then I'm going to close it. And I'm going to keep it closed until the fall, and then I'll reopen it. So it'll essentially, instead of this open model, I'll go to like a launch-based model. Does anyone see any downsides to that? Because I'm just not getting new members. And I think it's because there's no reason to join.
I think you're right. And I probably need to do that with CEO Circle. You know, if you follow Stu McLaren's model, he definitely, I mean, he just thinks open-ended is for the birds.
Right.
And I'm kind of like, in a way, I fight that, but here's why I fight it. I don't want to have to go through the mess of, oh, 6 months has gone by or quarterly has gone by. I got to get all that launch stuff out again. And I got to fart around with it. I don't want to. I'm kind of like, look, do you want to work on your business? If you do, come join. If you don't, you know, bye-bye. But you're right. There needs to be a sense of urgency and a sense of closure. So I am all for you trying it.
There's a woman that follows Stu McLaren, and her name is Jennifer Allwood. And she shut hers down and she went kicking and screaming because she was doing pretty well, like you. She had good following. And she finally just did it, and it like tripled or something, her membership. And I've heard story after story of people really successfully shutting that down. You can do it twice a year, you can do it quarterly, like however often you want, but there is something to, I think, shutting it down. So I'm going to try this. So I'm not speaking from experience. I can just tell you anecdotally, people who I follow in that Stu McLaren's group, hands down, say the same thing.
Yeah. Alicia Forrest will tell you the same thing. And she's a Stu, you know, she's all into Stu stuff, has paid for his membership for years and years, at least 3 or 4 years that I know of. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, try it. And since it's not growing anyway, what the heck's the harm?
I'm like, I've got nothing to lose, you know, right, in terms of the new members. And we, one of the things that this membership does that most don't, and I think the reason I've got such amazing retention, is I send out a print newsletter every month. And it's small, it's only 4 pages, but it's still something that goes out every single month.
Yeah.
And people have told me, people that can't even join the calls, that they stay in part because of the newsletter.
Like a
mail
newsletter?
Yeah, I agree. I have thought 1,000 times that I wanted to do a real short newsletter that I mailed to my women biz leaders group, the free Facebook group that I have. And I think that if I did that, I would get more conversions into the CEO circle. And I've even designed it, and I just never have gotten on the thing to get it out. But I swear that's actually on one of my sheets, I think, for June of this year. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, I do that, and that's works fantastically. And then I just had new envelopes made.
Oh, cool.
They follow the Dan Kennedy model, and I put all testimonials on the back.
Oh, wow.
And we got 3 signups for me using this when I sent out sample newsletters.
Yeah.
An order form inside, and then these. People that have requested them in the past, but I never had the testimonials. So I use envelopes with testimonials for everything that goes out of my office, regardless of what it's for.
I'll tell you what I like about this for you, and really, Claire, for you, if you were ever going to do your, if you ever had any kind of a membership design group or anything like that, and for you too, Christy, I've been getting the download, kind of the inspiration over the past 2 weeks, that's small, kind of the what CEO Circle is about, that smaller and simpler is where your money is.
Yep.
I am done with people who haven't opened my emails for months and months and months. I am done with people who join groups and then don't contribute. Done. I mean, today I went in my email list and I just completely deleted off my email list anybody who had not opened in the past 6 months. And I'll tell you one reason you need to do that anyway. All these email servers, they're like Birdsend and SendFox and MailerLite and all these ones, they have started getting their IP banned. They're having troubles with their IP being banned, which means your emails don't go out. Because they have so many people who have such low open rates and so many people who get unsubscribes. And what they do is they go in and they manually add back in the unsubscribes, which I would never, ever do, but people do it. I mean, it's illegal to do that. I would never do it. But Birdsend and SendFox and a couple of others have had their IPs blocked lately. And because of that, like I have a client who had Birdsend's IP got blocked, and guess what? 4,862 people fell off of her email list as a result of that.
Ooh.
She was livid. So we were working through that the past little while. And so it helps to have it sharp and pointed. And I'm just to the point where, look, guys, you know, I'm here and I can help you build your business. But if you don't want to play, will you please go away? Like, why do you want to mess with people like that? So I think the same thing, Sandy, open it. And if they don't take action and you've closed it, too bad, so sad. They'll have to wait for another turn.
And
nothing wrong
and
with that.
The simpler mode, I just moved from Constant Contact to SendFox.
Did you? Yeah.
And I did the exact same thing. I looked at Constant Contact and said, okay, where are the people that haven't opened in the last 6 months? Yeah. And I'm like, if you're not interested in building your business, then why are you here? You know, you're obviously not interested in what I'm sharing. Therefore, you know, and I chopped my list in half.
Yeah. I think you'll see a benefit from it. And actually in SendFox, if you don't have a certain open rate, they'll start optimizing for you. And that means they're only going to send it to the people who've opened in the last 90 days, and they'll get your open rate higher, and then they'll eventually stop optimizing. Because on one of my lists, they did that to me. And I was like, well, wait a minute here. So at any rate, yeah, I'm all for narrowly focused. And I just think that's the coming deal for all of us. Find the people who are hungry for what you have and give them the world. Give them a really bang up, wonderful job. And don't go trying to talk people into your services who are iffy.
No, it's not worth it.
Mm-mm. I mean, I think about you, Christy, and I think about the type of woman you appeal to. Your best clients are going to be women who already know that they want to live from a energetic path, from a higher purpose, from living in their purpose. They're conscious about what purpose is, and they're conscious about they want to do something with their life, or they want to have their life have impact in a certain way. If they don't already know that, then you're sitting there having to educate them and talk them into, well, if you had a purpose, maybe you wouldn't feel so depressed, or whatever the issue is. They're not your people.
Right. I agree with that.
And so you really have to find the people who are already out there and already seeking and already feel like that if they're not on a path, they know they should be on a path, and they want help finding what that path is for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those are your people. And you'll be extraordinarily, extraordinarily good at that, I think. Where you won't be extraordinarily good is having to coax people to, oh, you should be doing this. Because you already see the purpose of it, and you'll start feeling like, oh, God, like, what? Well, you
know? Yeah. It'll weigh me down. No, I totally get that. And that's why I'm totally fine with starting over, honestly, on my list and building it. And interestingly enough, you know, I said I went with Flowdesk. A ton of people are really frustrated with Flowdesk, and they all started leaving. Well, they're doing that because they have these big spammy lists, and Flowdesk, they're manually going through every, they require you to send your file to them. And if they don't see that it was whatever, that they opted in on their own, they cut it down. And so it was taking a while to go through that, and their mailing list was getting cut down, and they didn't like it. And they're like, hey, exactly what you explained, Sue, this is what's happening, and this is going to hurt the rest of us if we let you come on with spammy lists. And they even cut out a lot of like big sales. Like if you sold Mary Kay or you sold whatever, they don't even accept people like that anymore, because they got so much spam, people just throwing names, that it was hurting. So their new philosophy is, you know, we have to do this differently. And if you don't want to play, go somewhere else.
Yeah. You really do have to stand out and be unique in whatever it is that you do. And everyone in this call has the credibility and the chops to be that kind, to show that kind of uniqueness. I mean, I think about you, Claire, and I think about, you know, the experience that you have and the visibility that you've had. And I mean, really very few people can match what you can do when you're doing your design work. You know, it's very unique. It's very, they don't look cookie cutter. You know, like there's designers I can see, I follow a lot of designers on Instagram because I'm into that stuff. And I can see a picture on some of their accounts and know whose account it is before looking at whose account it is, because they always have a white light or they always have, you know, a certain thing. But you have this ability to really be unique to whatever setting you're designing for. And that alone, I think, puts you 5 steps above the run of the mill designers.
Thank you. Can I ask a question? So much of what influences me and drives me and inspires me and all that good stuff, other than just being technical, is having lived for 9 years in a nonprofit group and living in villages overseas. But that was all experience in the 70s. You know, I did it for all the 70s, which yeah. I was young then, you know, I wasn't in this business. But can you pull from, because that's very influential in terms of the mosaic in my head. Can you, is that still valid to be able to,
absolutely.
To bring that in?
Absolutely.
People would go, oh, well, that was in the 70s, so it doesn't count.
No, you'll find that, no, and it doesn't even matter. I mean, you can say without even mentioning the date, if it'll make you feel better, you know, people ask me where my, it might be something like this. People ask me where my design inspiration comes from and how my designs are so unique to the particular building. And I find that I think about a lot of when I lived in a purposeful community for 7 years and blah, 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 and tell a little piece of that story. That's how you would use it. You don't have to say back in the 70s.
Yeah. That makes okay. you who you are, Claire. That's an experience that
made me a different.
They don't have.
Yeah, thank you. It certainly makes you a different person. To
it absolutely makes you a different person. Yeah, kind of like for me when I had the travel business, and you know it's tiny now, right? Yeah, I can talk travel hands down more than any person else who sells travel, because I've probably been where they've been, and I've been around the world twice. And I've been to all 7 continents. I'm not sitting in a cubicle at Expedia and have never been anywhere but home and or the office. It makes a big difference. Which, by the way, Christy, this is Balinese.
Oh, is it? Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I got it in Bali. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
One of my favorite pieces. We brought it back from Bali a long time ago. And I've got a yen to go back to Bali now. So I've been talking to Dewa about that.
Good.
Maybe sometime next year, we'll see. But at any rate, yeah, you can definitely use that in your story.
I like the way you did it with asking a question first.
Yes.
Well, as people do say mm-hmm. that. And then I got to play off a lot on the fact that every time I work on a project or whatever, I invariably people say, oh my God, I so wish I had done this years ago and enjoyed it. Yeah, you know, rather than waiting to this last day or last date, you know, waiting for, you know, everything to be in place. Their kids are through college. They've got their car. They've got their mortgage handled, you know, and now they're doing it. And then they go, geez, what I was putting up with.
So there should be, and those way can to be address, some of your stories. Yeah.
Yeah. Some way I have to think about that. Some way to address that.
One of
what
the
do
things
you guys
that,
think of this? What do you guys think of this title? I'm thinking to keep, it keeps popping up is as a title for a blog or a story or a book or whatever, removing the pain of remodeling, something along those lines. Cause that mm-hmm. maybe that's too blunt.
No, I don't think it's too blunt at all. You know, remodeling without it crashing your marriage, or removing the pain, the gut wrenching part of remodeling. I think the stronger you make it, the better it'll be.
I agree.
Good, because I keep thinking about Tim Ferriss's 4-hour work week, you know, and that's a pretty bold title. But yeah, I'd like to come up with something, but something as bold as that, because it, like yesterday, I had an appointment and we're at the end of the project, and she said to me, oh my God, Claire, I'm weary. I just can't make any more decisions, because we were mm-hmm. doing the tile layout. I understand that. I mean, the decision-making gets very weary toward the end.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
And it gets weary to have people in your house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think a bold title, there's nothing wrong with that. And I mean, we've made the mistake of remodeling a house only to sell it so that we could sell it rather than remodeling it and enjoying it and then selling it, right? So that's a, I mean, that's another kind of true story that you could use.
Thank you. Yeah. I just have one. Do we have enough time? I just have one quick question. Uh-huh. Somebody suggested to me to go on to, you know, keep thinking, oh, what to write about. And somebody suggested me go on to Google and find out what questions people are writing in to get answered. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Have you done that?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I also
you could Google 10 most commonly asked questions about bathroom remodels or kitchen remodels.
Anybody else got? Yeah, that's good. Thank you for that. That's the kind of, yes. Okay. Any other questions like that?
That's the one that comes to my mind.
Okay, good. Thank you. That's good. I'll work on that.
You probably will Google that and you'll see articles and things that'll give you other ideas of other ways to ask it. I kind of follow my nose when I start out with one search, and then I kind of see what's on Google and I kind of follow my nose from what I see on the screen there. You probably will find that you can do that easily too.
Good, thank you.
Another thing you can do, Claire, is you can go to Amazon and look up like design books and see what the best-selling ones are. And that will tell you what people, not just what they're looking for, but what they're actually buying in terms of, are they buying things about remodeling bathrooms or bedrooms or kitchens?
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point, Sandy. You can use Amazon almost like a sharper Google, more focused Google.
I do that as well. And sometimes I'll even look at the reviews of the books because people will identify their, and that tells you what's current, that tells you where people are putting their money, not just where the problem is.
Exactly. Yes,
exactly. Yeah.
So one gives you the problem. One gives you the problem, the Google search. And then the other one gives you where people are actually making a stake in it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, I like to think of Amazon as a buyer's search engine.
Yeah.
Because they've paid for whatever those things are that are out there.
Yeah.
Good. Thanks.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Thank you. Nice to see you guys.
You too.
It's nice to see you guys too. Let's see, the second Wednesday in February will be the 10th. So we'll be meeting on the 10th, which will be a short month instead of a long month. It won't feel like it's been so far in between. If you need anything in the meanwhile, you know where to find me, and feel free to post questions on CEO Circle or email me directly. Talk to you guys later. It's good to see you.
Thanks.
Bye, Sue.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Hear you later, Sue.
Okay. Bye-bye.